We're in Romans chapter number 8. This little passage lends itself to much study and much preaching. We have explored a part thereof, and let it be known before I say anything else that we will not exhaust it. Cannot be exhausted.
Truth.
It's before you on the screen, if you look at it for a moment. And we know, it's good to know some things, isn't it?
Yes.
The word know is an important word in your Bible.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, you'll never be saved until you know some things.
Amen. That's right.
You must know that you're a sinner.
Yes.
You must know that Christ died for sinners.
Yes.
Hmm? Yes. You must know that there is no hope for you outside of Christ.
No.
And you need to know that if you do not repent and come to Christ, you're going to hell that's as sure as God made little green eyes.
Amen.
Yes. Some good things to know, isn't it?
Yes.
And we know that all things, and couldn't we again jump in that pool and stir up some water?
Yes.
All things work together. Remember, Mama, making the biscuits.
Oh, yeah.
Putting all the bitter ingredients together, and look what comes out of it. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God.
Amen.
And there's where we are, to them that love God.
Amen.
The love of God and the love to God is of the utmost importance.
Man, yes.
To know that we love God is essential.
Man.
To them that love God.
Yes.
I said to you last week, the mind is closed to those that don't love it.
True.
But it's wide open to those who do love it.
Yes.
All the promises and all the blessings that God has are ours in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
If we love Him. It takes a long time for us to understand some things in the Scripture. None of us learn it all the moment God saves us. I've met some people that had learned a few things before God saved them. Not many, but a few. But when God saves us, He opens the windows of heaven, and we begin to understand things that we never could have understood before.
Amen.
We begin to feel things that we never felt before. We hear things. Even in the preaching and the singing, we hear things we never heard before.
Right.
Those songs have been there. Those sermons, no doubt, have been there. But we didn't hear it.
Right.
Until God saves us by His grace.
Amen.
And then a new avenue opens to us that gives us things that we never could have understood, neither could we have received in days gone by. God is a benevolent God. Do you believe that?
Yes.
God is a benevolent God. He gives and He gives and He gives and He gives. And we are to be benevolent toward God. We're to love Him with due benevolence.
Amen.
That simply means that my hand is to be opened.
Right.
Not closed, but open. A benevolent individual is not holding what he has, but he's giving what he has.
Yes. Yes.
And God gave His darling Son for us.
Amen.
And oftentimes we wonder, why do we have to give? Why do we listen? Don't ever say that again. From this night on, never question God again when it comes to giving.
Yes.
Just remember what He gave for you.
Amen.
And when you do that, from there on, you'll never have to question again, why should I give?
Amen.
We should know as believers, whatever God has belongs to us.
Amen.
Do you realize that we are heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Further on this chapter, down in verse number 17, We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Now that makes you somebody. If you're a child of God, that makes you somebody. Often we forget that. But whatever God has, all that God has belongs to us as believers in Jesus Christ. To we who love Him. You remember that? That is a qualification here. To we who love Him, everything God has belongs to us.
Yes.
To be an heir is one thing. My dad had four boys. I'm the elder, Gary is second, Jerry is third, and Terry is fourth. Now, if we were dealing with the Old Testament economy, then a double portion of the inheritance would come to the elder one, and then a portion to the next, and a portion to the next, and a portion to the next. But that's not the way God deals with us.
No.
God makes us joint heirs
with
Jesus Christ. In other words, if Dad gave me a double portion, then Gary would get a double portion. And Jerry would get a double portion. Terry would get a double portion. Do you understand that?
Yes.
If Dad gave me all, then they would get all. Now, how in the world can that be? We share and share alike.
Amen.
That's the modern way of looking at it. Amen. We share and share alike. We are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, I don't know if that excites you or not, but you're looking at one old boy that gets excited when he begins to think of all that God has promised and all of that is ours.
Amen.
Not second-handed, not passed down, but ours as joint heirs with Jesus Christ.
Right.
Jesus in John chapter 17 asked the Father in his prayer that he would give him the glory that he had with him before the world began. Now remember what I said to you. If God gives him the glory that he had with him before the world began, you have that same glory.
Amen.
And further on in his prayer, that's exactly what he asked for.
Yes, sir.
He asked that we share in his glory.
Right.
Behold his glory.
Amen.
Thank God for that. Amen?
Amen.
So everything God has is ours as joint heirs with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Therefore, benevolent spirits ought to emanate from our being. Someone described it as wine, new wine. New wine has to vent. I don't know much about wine. I never drank it. I don't intend to drink it.
Amen.
I don't fool the folks who do drink it.
Amen.
Hello?
Yeah.
I don't like the smell of their breath when they drink it.
Nope.
I don't like the way they walk when they drink it.
Nope.
I don't like the way they talk when they drink it.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
But they tell us that new wine has to vent. Well, can I tell you something? That love toward God has to have a vent.
Yes.
And when we vent, others understand what's going on. They realize that there is love emanating from our being toward the God of glory.
Yes.
So we're to love Him. Therefore, the whole key of Romans 8:28 opens a door for us. There is a love of appreciation. There's a lot of folks that you meet up with that you appreciate. Is that right?
Yes.
And when you appreciate someone, then you care not as much for what they do for you as who they are.
Right.
It's said that Alexander the Great had two special friends. The first friend was named Hephaestion, and the other was named Critias. Hephaestion loved Alexander because he was Alexander. Critias loved Alexander because he was the king. Now, what's the difference here? One of them loved him because of who he was.
Yeah.
And the other loved him because of what he could give him.
Yes.
Do you realize that the multitudes followed the Lord Jesus Christ in order to get bread, in order to get fed, in order to get healed, and all of those things? They followed him because of what he could do for them.
Amen.
And then when he began to draw some lines, they began to fade away.
Right.
And go away.
Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, on one occasion, he even said to his disciples, "Will you also go away?" Simon Peter said those lovely words.
Oh, yeah.
"To whom shall we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life."
Amen.
Where else could we hear what we hear? Where else could we know what we know?
Right.
You see, Simon Peter loved him for who he was.
Right.
Not so much so as for what he could do for us. And I'm fearful that most of our love is based on what I can get.
Amen.
Now listen, folks. I'm grateful that everything God has is ours.
Amen.
But I'm more grateful that he's God.
Amen.
I'm more grateful that Christ is his darling son.
Amen.
I'm grateful for the good Holy Ghost.
Yes.
I'm grateful for the Word of God and his church.
Yes.
Amen.
And it's not just for the attributes, but for the person himself. You can get tired of attributes like, well, by the way, people's attributes change. Did you know that?
Yes, sir.
I used to be a lot harsher than I am today. But they tell me that as you grow older, and my wife's told me that a few thousand times, as you grow older, you mellow a bit.
Yes.
So hopefully I haven't mellowed a bit. So we change, our characteristics change in days as we pass on. And I've heard preachers say, now listen to this, it's a foolish statement, but you've heard it too. "I've never changed a thing since I first started preaching." Well, that means he's never opened the book again. Yeah, didn't know anything and still doesn't know anything. I can tell you without apology, I learn every day of my life.
Yes, sir.
God gives me something nearly every day of my life. When I get up in the morning and begin to read my Bible, I see things. Now listen, I don't know. I stopped counting a long time ago. But I've been through this book better than 100 times. And every time I read through this book, I find something that I didn't see in all those times previously.
Yes, sir.
So how in the world can that be? Because this is a living book.
Amen.
If I read a history book 100 times, I could quote it to you from limb to limb.
Yeah.
It always says the same thing. Well, this book always says the same thing, but it always gives you something that you missed previously.
Amen. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
That's the way God blesses us along the way. Our love for Christ ought to cause everything else to diminish in our lives.
Amen.
Someone wrote years ago, "When the sun rises, the stars disappear." Did you catch that?
Yes.
When the sun rises, the stars disappear.
Yes.
When the Lord Jesus Christ rises in our lives, all the other things, all the other little lights disappear.
Amen.
For he puts them all out.
Yes.
Because of his brightness.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yes.
When we love the Lord, then all of those other things lose their appeal and go away.
Yes, sir.
When the love for Christ becomes preeminent in our hearts, the stars go out.
Yes.
those things that would distract go away.
Amen.
They may beautify the sky at night, but come daylight, you don't see them.
Amen.
And the reason is because of the greater light.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Our love toward Him should not only be a love of appreciation, but it should be a love of delight.
Yes.
He is our delight.
Yes.
When we desire Him more than anything else in this world.
Amen.
Philip said to the Lord Jesus, "Show us the Father, and it suffices us." Show us the Father.
Yes.
And it satisfies.
Yeah.
When you see what God is, who God is, and beyond these things of what He's done for you, when you see Him for who He is, then all of those things that were previously begin to fade.
Amen.
Because you begin to see God.
Amen.
What a glory. What a glory when we begin to delight in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen.
It's a love of sincerity. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 24, "Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ." The word is in sincerity. Love Him with your whole heart.
Yes.
Love Him with your heart and your soul and your mind. Know what it means to say, "Lord, I love you,"
yes,
and mean it from my heart.
Yes.
Now, the scripture says plainly that we're to love Him with our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength.
Yes.
We're to love Him with our feeling, our heart, our feeling. We're to love Him with our soul. That's our being. All that we are is to love Him. We're to love Him with our thinking, our mind, and we're to love Him with our doing, our strength.
Yes.
Love Him with all we are.
Amen.
There is a particular love that we have for God because He has a particular love for us.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you where all this comes from. The love we have for God comes from God Himself.
Amen.
Now that seems strange, doesn't it?
Amen.
And oftentimes we never stop to think about, we think, "Boy, I love the Lord." You could never love the Lord if God hadn't given you the ability to do so.
Amen.
You couldn't love anything if God hadn't given you the ability. I don't know about you, but I think it's a wonderful thing to love.
Yes. Amen. Yes, it is.
Yes.
God gave us affections.
Sure.
And in the realm of that affection, we love our children, we love our wives, our husbands, we love our families, we love things from time to time, but all of that goes into the darkness.
Yes, it does.
When God shows us His love, and we begin to reflect that love back toward Him.
Amen.
You see, we're like a mirror. There was a time when we communicated with mirrors and lights. Some of our Navy ships still do that. And there were times in some of our excursions when I was in service that we used mirrors or lights in order to communicate with someone else. Now, I'm talking about modern times. And when you take that little mirror and get in the sun and reflect that light toward whoever you wanted to see, that light was bright. It could never be brighter than the sun, but it could be as bright as the sun. The love that God gives us can be reflected back to Him with the same degree that He sends it this way.
Yeah.
But how often we let our mirrors get cloudy.
Yeah. Yeah.
How often we get fingerprints all over, huh?
Yeah.
You girls get lipstick on.
Yeah.
All kind of things happen to dull the light that's reflected back, to dull the love that's reflected back toward Him. But we're to love in sincerity. Fire is said to be the most active of the elements. And when a fire burns, I noticed in the news this afternoon, California's burning down again, hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Now there's some good folks in California, I promise you that.
Amen.
Some folks that love God in California.
Amen.
A preacher friend of mine is fighting hell in California right now.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. When a fire burns, it burns with vigor.
Yes, it does.
When a fire is burning, it is consuming everything around it that's consumable. I have a furnace. That furnace has a fan. When that fire gets low, that fan starts. And it's like a blast furnace inside that thing. It's consuming everything in there, down to the most minute ash. And a couple of wheelbar fulls of wood comes out to be a few shovels full of ashes. Now you're hearing me, aren't you? The love that we have for Christ ought to consume everything in us but Christ. Loving Him more than anything in this world. More than anything the world can bring about us. A wicked man will not be shaken from his sin, though he is made fearful, though he is threatened with hell, though sickness come, though he is shamed because of his sin, he will not repent of his sin. Now hear me. Should not the saint of God in the same manner have the same tenacity to hang on to the love of Christ in spite of the difficulties, in spite of the dangers, in spite of everything that comes our way, the persecutions, whatever they may be? Should we not love our God with the same vigor that the wicked man holds on to his sin?
Yes.
Sure we should.
Yes, amen. Amen.
God help us to love Him.
Yes.
And to love Him with all of our heart and all of our soul.
Yes.
All of our mind and all of our strength.
Amen.
So we must love Him in spite of the difficulties. One of the major examples of love toward God is in the life of Abraham. I'll give you this and we shall close tonight. Listen carefully. Abraham was promised a son. Now, as you know, Abraham and Sarah tried to help poor old God out because they didn't figure he could do what he said he was going to do. But nonetheless, the time came, and God told Abraham that Sarah was going to have a son.
Yeah.
Now, Abraham is 99 years old. Sarah is 90 years old. And when that son shows up, both of them are going to be a year old. And lo and behold, here comes the boy. And they name him Isaac. And the reason they named him Isaac is because Sarah laughed when she heard the Lord say that she was going to have a son. But lo and behold, here he is. According to the time of life, Isaac comes on the scene. And when Isaac is a teenager, 17, 18 years old, God said to Abraham, "Take thy son, thine only son, Isaac." Did you hear that? God said he was his only son. Now, remember, Abraham has another son by a bond woman. Remember that?
Okay.
Ishmael by name. So God said, "Take thy son, thine only son, Isaac." Identified the one he's speaking of. Let him know that this is the only son. And I want you to take him yonder on a mountain and sacrifice him. Now look up here at this preacher tonight. I have one son, one daughter. If God had said to me, sacrifice your son, do you know how hard that would be? And by the way, if God's not in this picture, Abraham is a murderer. But God's in the picture. And listen to the text. The text says, we're in Genesis chapter 22. The text says that early the next morning, he didn't wait a week. He didn't try to bargain with God and put it off for a month. The next morning, early, Abraham saddled his ass and took off with that boy and two Methodists to go and sacrifice his son. They came to the place that God had told him, and Abraham left those that came with him at the bottom of the hill, and he said, stay here with the asses, and I and the boy will go yonder and worship and come again.
Amen.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
On the way up the hill, Isaac says, Father, behold the wood and the fire. But where?
Yes, exactly.
Where is the sacrifice?
Yeah.
Abraham made some terrific statements here. He said, God will provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice. Do you suppose Abraham knew what he was saying? I don't think he did. I don't think he understood the ramifications of the words he said at that moment. I don't really think Abraham ever understood. But God knew what was going on. God sent us a message from that very text that Jesus was coming because God was going to provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. And so they go to the top of the hill. Abraham binds the boy, puts him on the altar, and is ready to sleep. And God stays his hand.
Amen.
A lot more here I can tell you. But what I'm saying to you is Abraham loved God more than he loved his only son.
Amen.
Is that love?
Yes.
Is that love?
Yes.
Can I tell you that our Heavenly Father loved his church so much so that he sent his son, his only begotten son,